Good morning. This is Becky Spieth, the Christian Direct Seller and Direct Sales Specialist, and I want to thank you for spending time with me this morning. Grab your notepad and something to write with, because God's got something very special for you today. Today we're talking about, what do you do with discouragement and stinking thinking? How does shame affect us? And what is God's prescription when it gets to the point where we're almost feeling maybe a little depressed or really, really down on ourselves? You know, it tells us in Psalm 42:5, it says, "Why are you cast down, O my inner self, and why should you moan over me and be disquieted with me? Hope in God and wait expectantly for him, for I shall yet praise him, because my help comes from the Lord." And so I'm really excited today, because I think that this is an incredible opportunity for us to really think about this. I mean, many of us have been to our national conference already this summer, or are just getting home. Maybe a few more still have those to attend. But I can remember one time sitting there. It was my very first conference, and they had all the award winners in the very front of the room. And then there was this red rope. Like, that's where all the VIPs were, and then everybody else sat behind that. And I looked at my husband, and I didn't even know what was going on at the time, and I said, "I don't know what it takes to sit up in there, but I'm going to do it next time." I could have sat there and got discouraged and thought about how my year didn't go well and how I felt like I hadn't been properly trained, or I didn't really know what to do in my business, or I didn't have the best start, or I could have come up with a myriad of reasons why I couldn't have been up there and didn't schedule the shows I needed to schedule, or schedule the parties I needed to have, or do the appointments I needed to make, but I didn't. But I did hear that voice that makes you feel cast down, that inner self voice. And I know that sometimes we have an inner critic, or we've got gremlins, or we've got whatever you want to call it, but we have self-inflicted voices and self-inflicted shame that comes along with discouragement. You know, David had a lot of reasons to feel discouraged, and he's the psalmist that wrote this. He was living in caves after he had been anointed king, because the current king was trying to kill him after he saved the country. And had soothed him in some of his deepest, most despairing times. Discouragement destroys hope. So naturally, the devil always tries to discourage us. He tries to confuse us. He tries to discourage us. Because without hope, we give up, which is exactly what the devil wants us to do. You know, in the Bible, it tells us time after time not to be discouraged, don't be dismayed, fear not, because God knows that we will not be victorious if we get discouraged or we have fear. He always encourages us that we start out on a project by saying, "Don't be discouraged," because God wants us to be encouraged, not discouraged. When discouragement or condemnation tries to overtake us, the first thing that we need to do is to examine our thought life. David knew it right there. He said, "Oh my, why, my inner self, what's the matter with you? You're groaning and moaning and you're disquieted in me." He lost his peace. So let me ask you, what kind of thoughts have you been thinking? Did they sound like this maybe? "Oh, I'm not going to make it. This is too hard. There's no way that I could do this. I always fail." You know, it's always been the same thing. Nothing ever changes. I'm sure other people don't have this much trouble in their business, in their life, or getting their minds renewed. I might as well just give up. I'm too tired of trying. You know, I pray, but it seems like God doesn't even hear me. He probably doesn't even answer my prayers because he's so disappointed in the way that I act. These are all examples of stinking thinking. No wonder you're getting discouraged or feeling condemned or feeling shame. Remember, you become what you think. When we think discouraging thoughts, you're going to get discouraged. Thinking condemning thoughts, and pretty soon you're going to be under condemnation. And it tells us in Romans 8:1, it tells us that we're, therefore there is no condemnation, no judging of the guilty of the wrong for those who are in Christ Jesus, who live and walk not after the dictates of the flesh, but after the dictates of the Spirit. It tells us that it's our responsibility to walk after what the Holy Spirit has asked, what He says. Instead of thinking negatively, I want you to think a little bit more like this. You know, I got to admit, God, things are going a little bit slowly, but I want to thank You because I am making progress. I sure am glad that I'm on the right path that's going to lead me to freedom because I'm following You. You know, I had a rough day yesterday. I mean, be honest with Him. He knows. He can see it. But see, you know what? I chose wrong thinking all day long. So, Father, forgive me and keep me. Help me to keep on keeping on. I made a mistake, but at least that is one mistake I won't have to make again. This is a new day. You love me, Lord, and Your mercy is new every morning. So I refuse to be discouraged. I refuse to be condemned. Father, the Bible says that You don't have to condemn me. You sent Jesus to die for me, and I'm going to be fine. Today's going to be a great day, and I ask You to help me choose the right thoughts today. Can you feel the difference? Can you feel the victory already rising up inside of you? Can you feel that you're positive and you're godlike in your thinking? I want you to continue to think about that. You know, God wants us to be free from shame. And a lot of people get a little confused when we talk about shame and guilt and condemnation. But shame is an intense feeling inside that makes you wish that you could either evaporate, disappear, or extreme humiliation and remorse. It's despairing of life from horrible embarrassment. And I can tell you it's usually self-inflicted through our thoughts. Guilt is realizing that you've done wrong, and usually some form of a particular sin. Condemnation is being sentenced or convicted for wrongdoing by someone on the outside, that we allow outside of ourselves to start doing that, whether it's the enemy or whether it's someone else in our lives. And remember what it said in Romans 8, 1, that there isn't supposed to be any condemnation from others because Jesus has forgiven us. Then it's our responsibility to walk not after the dictates of the flesh, our own selfishness, those sins that our flesh wants to take and participate in, but we need to walk in the Spirit. You know, a lot of people are so rooted in shame. What this means is that their shame is so deep, it functions as the root of almost like a tree or a plant because it produces the fruit in the form of unhealthy thoughts and behaviors. If you're rooted in shame, then you need to be aware of that shame is different from guilt. I believe shame is a deeper problem than guilt, that we feel guilty over something maybe we've done wrong, but shame makes us feel bad about who we are. There's also a difference between normal shame and rooted shame. For example, if you take and you knock over a water glass at dinner, I mean, it's happened to all of us, but especially if we're at a fancy restaurant, sometimes we might feel ashamed or a little bit embarrassed because we made a mess in front of everybody. That's normal. But soon you're going to adjust, and the mishap's over, it's cleaned up, and you just go on. And that incident doesn't mar your life, and you don't carry that with you. You know, in the Garden of Eden, after the fall, Adam and Eve were ashamed when they realized that they were naked. So they made aprons of fig leaves to cover themselves. That, too, was a normal reaction. When you and I make mistakes or we commit a sin, we feel bad for a little while until we repent. That's asking true forgiveness and turning and going in opposite direction, and then we're forgiven. Then we're able to put our mistake and our sins behind us and go on without any lasting harm. But when we get rooted in shame, it affects our entire lives. It creates a bad attitude towards ourselves, and it poisons everything that we try to accomplish. We almost feel doomed to failure because we have no confidence. Jesus bore our shame for us on the cross. Ask Jesus today to give you understanding of His work on the cross for you and release that shame. Ask Him to heal you so that you can live free from shame. You know, it tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:34, wake from this drunken fit it's almost as if we get into a drunken stupor when we get discouraged and we allow all this shame to come around us. It tells us to live righteous lives and cease to sin, for some have no knowledge of God. And I speak this in order to move you from shame. We need to maybe feel that we did something wrong by allowing this stinking thinking, and then we need to move forward from it. It tells us in Hebrews 12:2, for he himself endured a cross, speaking of Jesus, and thought nothing of its shame because of the joy he knew would follow his suffering. You've suffered long enough. We don't have to suffer. Jesus took all of that and bore that on the cross for us. We need to repent. We need to move on. It tells us in Isaiah 54:4, don't fear. Again, be encouraged, not discouraged, for you will not be ashamed, neither be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame. For you will forget the shame of your youth. So maybe it's the shame of yesterday, or maybe it's the shame of this last year, or maybe it's the shame that you didn't hit your goals this year. You still have almost an entire 6 months to make a difference. And we're coming into the strongest 6 months of the year. I love a quote that John Maxwell always says, yesterday ended last night. Release it. Give it to the Lord. Don't carry it on around your neck or drag it like a big heavy baggage around. Release it. Walk in the freedom that the Lord has given you. Don't be discouraged. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans of good and not for evil, to give you a hope and a future. John 16:33 says, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you might have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. And if we know Jesus as our personal Savior, and we make him the Lord of our life, not just our ticket to heaven or our ticket out of hell, one of the two, but a way that we will embrace him as the Lord of our life. He's already overcome the world, and we have our righteousness in him, so we share the same righteousness. But we can't keep living in that sin. Joshua 1:9 says, have I not commanded you? Okay, this is not a suggestion. This is a command. Have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. It tells us in 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxieties and your cares upon Jesus because he cares for you. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Maybe you're still planting seeds. Maybe you are just having a little bit slower journey right now. Maybe the Lord's giving you a season of rest. But stay in peace, stay diligent, and follow the path that God has set before you. James 4:7 says, submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. So resist that negative thinking. Resist the shame. Resist the condemnation. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Because we know that in John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus came that we might have life and have it abundantly. You deserve all the good things that God has for you, and they're waiting for you. Now, some of us have even let the discouragement get deep inside of us. Maybe you might even feel depressed at times. So I want to be able to address that for you and give you a little prescription about what God wants us to do. You know, Psalm 143, 3 through 10 gives a description of depression and how to overcome it. Again, that's Psalm 143, verse 3 through 10. It says, for the enemy has pursued and persecuted my soul. He's crushed my life down to the ground, and he has made me to dwell in dark places as those who have been long dead. That sounds pretty depressing to me. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed, and it faints within me. It's all wrapped in gloom. My heart within, my bosom grows numb. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all your doings. I ponder the work of your hands. I spread forth my hands to you. My soul thirsts after you like a thirsty land after water. Answer me speedily, God, for my spirit fails. Hide not your face from me, lest I become like those who go down into the pit and the grave. Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning, for on you do I lean, and in you do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my inner self to you. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. I flee to you to hide me. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me into a level country and into the land of uprightness. Save my life, O Lord, for your name's sake, and your righteousness bring my life out of trouble and free me from distress. Psalm 143:3 says, you know, David feels as if he's dwelling in these really deep, dark places. He's almost wishing that he didn't have a life or have his business of being king. This certainly sounds like someone who is massively depressed. I believe that the source of depression and discouragement and shame is from Satan. He tries to attack our soul, which is our mind, our will, and emotion. So the way that we can overcome this is we need to identify the nature and the cause of the problem. Identify the nature and the cause of your discouragement. Secondly, in verse 4, we need to recognize that depression steals away the life and the light out of our lives. Satan seeks to rob, to kill, and destroy, right? He seeks to oppress our spirits because he knows that where God's spirit is within us, that we are powerful and we are free. So he wants to take that power and the liberty away by filling our minds with darkness and gloom. I want you to realize today that it's vital that you resist the devil, like we heard about in James, and resist that feeling called discouragement, hopelessness, overwhelm, depression, immediately when we begin to sense it. Because the longer we allow it to remain, the harder it becomes to resist, and it starts to try to take root. In Psalm 143:5, it says, remember the good times to overcome. You know, in this verse, we see David's response to his condition, remembering, meditating, pondering on all the good things. These are all functions of our mind. That's how we know that the battlefield is really in our mind. He obviously knows that his thoughts will affect his feelings. So he gets busy thinking about the kinds of things that will help him overcome the attack on his mind instead of wallowing in it, because a lot of times we want to just wallow in it. He thinks about God and the good things that he does. In verse 6, the prescription is to praise the Lord in the midst of the problem. You know, David knew the importance of praise because he lifts his hands in worship here. But we see that he overcomes through praise. He even sang psalms to Saul to help soothe him because he was praising the Lord. He declares here what his need truly is. He doesn't like try to be all holy in front of God and say, oh, but you know, I'm this and that. He just lays it out there and he said, you know, this was how I felt. I'm feeling like I'm dried up. I need you. So don't be deceived into thinking that anything else is going to satisfy God, except that you are fully and completely chasing after him, worshiping him, and you're not trying to lie or hide from him. But when we chase after the wrong things, this is always going to leave us disappointed, and disappointment opens the door to depression. In verse 7, we need to ask for God's help. David asked for God's help, and he said, you know what, God, I need you to hurry up, because felt like he wasn't going to be able to hang on very much longer. Did God turn his back on him? No way. Then we need to listen to the Lord. Verse 8 makes that very, very clear to us. David knows that he needs to hear from God, and he needs to be assured of God's loving kindness. He needs God's attention and direction. So what does he do? He needs to listen. Sometimes we come to God with all of our prayer requests and we lay a big laundry list on him, and then we're like, okay, God, thanks for handling that. I'm done. We need to listen. We need to worship. We need to spend that time with God. I sometimes envision that I'm crawling up on my Father's lap, my Father God's lap, and I just spend time with Him. We also may need to pray for deliverance. In verse 9, David declares that only God can help him. So notice that throughout this discourse, he keeps in his mind on God and not on the problem. I'm going to say that again because it's really important. We keep our eyes on God and not our problem. And lastly, verse 10, we need to seek God's wisdom, knowledge, and leadership, because David perhaps was indicating that he's gotten out of the will of God. Maybe he's opened the door to the attack on his soul because he was outside of the will of God. We're not sure exactly how he did that, but it appears that way. He wants to be in God's will because he realizes that this is the only safe place to be. Then he requests that God help him to be stable. He wants his unsettled emotions to be level and not up and down. I want to encourage you to read this psalm over and over this week if you're dealing with discouragement, shame, or even condemnation from others or from the enemy. God has great things planned for you. We read that already with some of our scriptures, but God has made a way for you. And I want to encourage you, just like God says at the beginning of every task he gives, don't be discouraged. Fear not. Take this test and turn it into your testimony. Take this mess and turn it into your message. Put away the drunken stupor of depression, of shame, of discouragement, and put on your cloak of righteousness in Christ Jesus. Today's your day. Your freedom is here. Let's go before the Lord. Father God, I want to praise you and I want to thank you. I want to worship you and tell you how much we love you. And we are so thankful that even when we are maybe walking away or having some stinking thinking or maybe open the door to the enemy, Lord, that you still love us. You love us in our mistakes. You love us too much to let us stay that way, but you still love us and you meet us exactly where we are. So, Father God, we repent right now. We are going to turn away. We're saying we are sorry and are going to turn away from our stinking thinking. We're going to turn away from looking at what could have been, should have been, what we need to do. And Lord, we're going to embrace the path that you have for us. We know that you have only good things for us. We ask that you would cleanse us from all unrighteousness and we put on the righteousness of Christ like a cloak, like a beautiful robe. It covers our sin and we're so thankful for that. But Lord, we know that your grace doesn't give us a license to sin, but it frees us. Lord, I thank you that you give us a path and a way, and you show us your love and your kindness in the Word all of the time. I pray you will help us to be faithful in getting into the Word. Lord, I pray that you will help each person listening, that they will come up with scriptures pertaining to specific areas when their stinking thinking comes in, that they can quote scripture just like Jesus did to overcome the enemy when he was out in the wilderness. Lord, I thank you that our test is turning into our testimony, our mess is turning into our message, and that you are giving us victory. I thank you that many of us have companies that we're involved with, Lord, that have put a good path before us. Help us to follow it with diligence and to do everything as unto you, as if we're serving you. Lord, right now I rebuke discouragement, shame, guilt, and condemnation. We know all of these are lies from the enemy. We embrace your love. We embrace your forgiveness. And Father God, we will not lift ourselves up above you. You say that you've forgiven us. So allow us to forgive ourselves. Please give us the strength to do that, the courage to do this. That I ask that you would have boldness rise up inside of each one of us. I thank you for the good things that you're doing in our businesses. I thank you for the anointing that's falling now. I thank you for the favor that's going out before each and every person that's listening to this call. Lord, we know that the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. And we say no more in our lives, in our families, and in our businesses, in the name of Jesus. We know that you came that we might have life and we might have it abundantly. We embrace that life with new fervor and a new boldness. and more encouragement than we've ever had. And we thank you for the confidence that you give us. The confidence is in you, and it's in who we are because we are your children. Lord, we are submitting ourselves to you. We are resisting the devil, and we know that he will flee from us, and we command it now in the name of Jesus. We break the sins of the Father and hereditary curses in the name of Jesus that might be maybe were said over us or over our family members around discouragement, around keeping us down, around depression. Thank you for that authority. Lord, we will stay steadfast, immovable. We're going to abound in every work that you have for us, knowing that we will not labor in vain. Lord, we are planting good seeds, and we are expecting a harvest. Lord, we're casting every anxiety, every fear, every concern, every doubt that we have on you. Because you tell us we can do that in 1 Peter 5:7, because we know that you care for us. And that, according to Jeremiah 29:11, that you know the plan you have for us, and it's of good and not for evil, that you've given us a future and a hope, and we thank you for that. Lord, we thank you, according to John 16:33, that you have given us peace. You've overcome the world. You've overcome these problems. And that's past tense. Help us to embrace your truth and walk in your truth. We love you, Father God. We ask all this in Jesus' name. And thank you for this freedom. Amen.